I'm not going today to offer you any definitive answers to the complex questions that have exercised social scientists for decades. You'd rightly be sceptical if I did. But I will identify what this government believes to be the five key sources of social segregation. First, the diverging paths of different children in the early years. We now know a good deal about the widely varying rates of development for children, long before they hang up their coat for their first day at school. This is again an area where Centre Forum has done some really excellent work. Early years investment also illustrates the distinction I made earlier between anti-poverty and pro-mobility measures. High-quality preschool education will not alter the statistics on income distribution or household poverty levels, but it will change the lives of the children who benefit. Second, the different degree to which different parents invest in and engage with their own children's development and progress. Parents are, frankly, in the front line when it comes to creating a fairer society, in the way that they raise their own children. According to one study, the amount of interest shown by a parent in their child's education is 4 times more important than socioeconomic background in explaining education outcomes at the age of 16. Now, this is not an area where the state can simply pull a lever or two and put things right. These are also potentially perilous waters for politicians. But at the same time, we can't remain silent on what is an enormously important issue. Parents hold the fortunes of the children they bring into this world into their hands. All parents have a responsibility to nurture the potential in their children. And I know, like any mother or father, with 3 small children, how difficult it is to find the time, sometimes the energy, to help with your children's homework, particularly after a long, busy day. But the evidence is unambiguous. If we give them that kind of attention and support when they're young, they will feel the benefits for the rest of their lives. Third, the impact of parental background on educational attainment in the school years. Formal educational outcomes remain profoundly shaped by the socioeconomic backgrounds of young people. A young person from a household in the top fifth of the income distribution is 3 times more likely to get 5 GCSEs between grades A and C than a young person brought up in a household in the bottom fifth. Our education policy is squarely aimed at reducing those inequalities. Fourth, the roles of higher and further education. The expansion of higher education, and it's been very, very rapid in recent times, has brought many benefits to the nation and to those individuals who've become graduates. But there is evidence from Joe Blandon and others at the Centre for Economic Performance to suggest that, contrary to expectations, increased levels of attendance at university have not translated into higher levels of social mobility. And I think this is for 2 important reasons. One, a disproportionate number of university students come from the middle and upper classes. And 2, higher education remains the primary entry route to high-quality jobs. And that is why I feel so passionately that we need to attack the educational apartheid that currently exists between vocational and academic learning in general and between further education and higher education in particular. It also graphically demonstrates the need to reform the funding of higher education in a way that promotes greater social mobility. And fifth and finally, the closed nature of so many professions. We know that professions such as medicine, law, journalism, and yes, of course, politics, have become narrower in their social representation. David Willetts writes in his book that in the professions, I quote you, David, the competition for jobs is like English tennis, a competitive game but largely one the middle classes play against each other. Again, this is an area where it's up to the professions themselves to get their houses in order, supported by appropriate government action. And therefore, I welcome the involvement of the expanded Gateways to the Professions Collaborative Forum that was referred to earlier, in which a considerable number of professional bodies have come together because they've realised that for too many professions, the dial is going the wrong way. Now, in each of these areas, there is a huge amount of work to be done.